And we start here at the top of Huf Aleph on the Aleph, there on the second line down. Amar Shmuel, Amasreit v'kli chayav. Someone who cuts with a utensil is chayav. Meitevei, srita v'gedida. You have two isurim, when isur srita and isur v'gedida. Achati, they're one isur, they're the same isur. Ela, just srita biyad. Srita is done by hand. And gdida b'kli is done by a utensil. So the fact that Shmuel makes a statement of hamasreit bikli means he's using the verb masreit, or the Easter in the Torah of masreit, but saying it's with the utensil, even though we have a braita that says that masreit is biyad versus gdida, which is done by kli. Right? So the psukim that we have are bani matem l'shem l'kaychem lo tit go dedu v'lo tasimu korcha ben enechem l'meit. So that's one, there's lo tit go dedu. And then we have the pasuk of Veseret Lanefesh Lo Titnu Bibsarchem Uktovet Kakal Utnu Bibachem Ani Hashem. So Seret Lanefesh. So we said, at least according to some, we just had Rabbi Yossi who says this, Srita and Gdida are Achati. It's the same Isur. It's two Lavin for the same Isur. So who Damar Rabbi Yossi? That's exactly right. He holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi who says that Srita and Gdida are Achat. They're interchangeable. They're synonymous words. You violate them, you get two sets of malkot. Now, it's clear the Rivan points out over here that the ikar srita is mash biyad, and it's clear that the ikar gdida is bikli. So just the only question is if there's enough opening for them to mean the opposite as well. But over here, according to Shmuel, according to Biosi, you would get two lavin, you'd violate two lavin, for instance, a person who's masreit bikli. So Tani Tani Amei to Rabbi Yochanan, Amet Ben Biyad Ben Bikli Chayav, Ala Vedat Kochavim Biyad Chayav Bikli Patur. So they had a Mishnah or Raita that was read before Rabbi Yochanan. It says that for a mate, which is the Srita and the Gdida, whether it's done by hand or it's done with a Kli, Chayav, then you violated the Lav. Either you violated Lotid Kodu, or you violated Seret Nefesh Lotid Nu, or you violated both. When it comes to Ovad Kochavim, then Biyad Chayav, if you do it with the Yad, your Chayav Likli Patur. Talking about here is, as the Rivan points out, it's Derech Avodata Bekach. So this is something that they worship in Avodah Zarah by cutting themselves. That's the worship of Avodah Zarah. And then the Rivan adds, which is more difficult, Afilo Avodat Kochavim She'ein Avodata Bekach, and Avodah Zarah that does not have Zavodah with this, then Chayav Davodah Gmurahi Biyad. Because when you do it with a yad, it's a full-fledged avodah, and then you are chayav. So then Tosus mentions over here Parasha Kuntres, which is referring to the Rivan, that is chayav mitav gedarka, and it sounds ukishalo gedarka, milota avdeim. That it sounds like for gedarka or shalo gedarka, you'll be chayav, because this is a melacha that extends to all of avodah zarah. Even though it's not mentioned as one of the four special ones that we mentioned in Sanhedrin, nevertheless, it seems the Rivan believes that it's in a type of Vodah that extends beyond a single Avodah Zarah, that this is the particular worship of that Avodah Zarah. It's an all-encompassing type of Vodah. Although it's not, I don't know where the Rivan got it from, it's not so simple. Unless you have possibly a different gear, which is Shloka Darka, you'd get Malkot and not Mitah, then it might make a little more sense, because then you have a problem of Lota Avdeim and not that it's a generic Avodah that applies to all Avodah Zarah. Where it says, Vayibcha, we have just the opposite. This is by Hira Kamel, right after Torah for Parsha Kitisa with Eliyahu Navi. So he challenges the Nevi'ei Abal, or the Komrei Abal, to see who's going to bring the rain and who's going to be answered. So it says over there, the Komrei Abal, they're working themselves up all day, screaming, nothing's happening. And then they go ahead and they Vayit Godedu Kemishpatam Bacharovot Uberamachim. And they cut themselves, kemishpatam, the way that they did to worship in this way, becharavot, right, with swords, ubramachim, and with lances, or with spears. So over here, you see them using a utensil to do the cutting by avodah zarah, which go against the braita that was just read before Rabbi Yochanan. It says biyad chayav bekli patur. Elaima biyad patur bekli chayav. Amended to read the other way around, which makes more sense. That biyad your patur, but avodah zarah bekli. That's the way they did it. That's the way they normally worshipped avodah zarah. Now b'chayav al arosh. We said in our Mishnah that you're chayav for the Rosh, which is the Shtei Peyot HaRosh. So Mechavi Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet has indicated, signaled, pointed to Ben Pirkei Resha, at the joints of the head. So that's where the Peyot HaRosh are the Pirkei the Resha, the joints of the Rosh. According to most Rishonim, that is somewhere here, with his bone, where the upper jaw bone comes across up here, or by the temple, that's the area, that's the upper, that's called the joint of the Rosh, and from there above is what's considered the Peyat HaRosh. The Rivan is the one exception, because the Rivan believes actually that the Peyat HaZaken begins here, and the Peyat HaRosh is by the temple. But everything above the Peyat HaZaken, the beginning of the Zaken, belongs to the Peyat HaRosh. So according to the Rivan, it's the entire side of your face down to the bottom of the jaw that is included in Peyat HaRosh. But that's a point to the perek. It has to be some sort of joint. That's what he pointed to, or something that looks like or feels like a joint. It's called that. And again, according to most Rishonim, it's the bone here. This bone across the upper jaw, or the temple in this general area of vicinity. Valzakan, shtaimikan v'chad memato. We have 5 points for the beard. So mechavi rav sheshet ben pirkei de dikno. So over here he says also, he pointed, or he indicated, or he showed the 5 joints of the face. What these 5 joints are, this is much more, as opposed to the Peyat HaRosh, which didn't get too lost, this actually is much more subject to machloket about where these 5 points of the Rosh are. So I sent out the Mekorot, so you can have these. But here it's a Shitat HaRivan, Rivan who's mentioned over here. Rivan believes that as I mentioned before, the Zakan begins down here at the back of your bottom jaw, right back here, what's behind your ear, right, the pieces there, these points over here, says that's the beginning of your jaw, and they extend to the points right here in your chin. That's the points. So these are the two and the two on each side. You have the point here to the point in your chin. Those are 4 of the points. Then the Rivan believes that there's a center of your chin. He believes there's another bone or something in there that sits between the two ends of the jaws, which is not the case necessarily, but he believes there's a 5th point, and that 5th point is here at the center of the chin. So you see over here in the picture, you can see that here are the two, this is the beginning of the beard, which is the two joint, the bottom of the jaw, then the 2 points at the chin, and then the center of the chin. Now the Rivan believes that what we said yesterday's daf, we call that Shibolet HaZakan. The Shibolet HaZakan, according to the Rivan, is all 5 of these points. All of them are called the Shibolet HaZakan. According to most Rishonim, it's just the centerpiece here in the chin. Now here, I was just pointing this out. According to the Rivan, he mentions that this is the Peyat HaRosh by the temple. But he says, between here and here, this is the beginning of the Zakan, this is the Peyat HaRosh. This belongs to Peyat HaRosh. It's actually somewhat of a machlokes about this in the Rivan, but it sounds like this from the Rivan, that this is all part of Peyat HaRosh. You wouldn't be able to cut away anything along the whole edge of your face over here, which is the source for some of those that wear their peyot all the way down to the lower jaw. That's the Rivan's Shita. Now, the Rivan is really here is Rashi, but that's not Shita Rashi, because Rashi has his own Shita. This is the Rivan. Rashi is found, we're going to see in Shavuot, Pasuk Gimel, Daf Gimel, in Shavuot, is also found in Chumash. Rashi and Chumash, which explains his Shita. Rashi's Shita is that the two bones, all the first 2 points relate only to the upper jaw. The upper jaw, which is from right here, the end of the upper jaw, to the cheekbone. The front of the cheekbone, that's all the upper jaw. So that, from one point to the front, he calls it the Rachav HaElechi HaElyon, or something, Rachav HaTzdei HaElechi HaElyon. So these are the 2 points, according to Rashi, that extend from the point in the middle of the ear, the bone there, that's the end of it, until your cheekbone. Those are the 4 of the points. And then the center point, obviously, is the chin, according to Rashi. Rashi has the beginning of Peyat HaRosh to be right here. As opposed to the Rivan, that's up by the temple, he has it at the same point. The point where his Peyat HaZakan begins is also where the end of the Peyat HaRosh is. And that's right here at the bone that extends from right in the middle of your ear, extends out right here, the upper jaw. That's the end of the zakan, that's the beginning of the rosh. So the path of the rosh will start above there, the path of zakan will be below that. Alright, so for Rashi, these are the 5 points that you have according to Rashi. Then we have the shita of the rach. The shita of the rach is quoted in the Ritva, in Makot here, and in Shavuot he quotes him, as well as in the Tur who quotes this rach. Rach has a very interesting shita. He believes, like Rashi, that the first points believe begin over here by the upper jaw, by the middle ear, that same point, but the second points are right here at the edge of your mouth. Right here, the two edges of your mouth. No bone, no joint. So the rach says, even though there's no bone and no joint there, nevertheless, nikru peot lefishahem bepat ha'ata safa. Right, so since they're at the edge of the mouth or the edge of the mustache, they're called pat, a corner, even though there's no real corner there. So despite there not being any corner there, he calls them a corner. So according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, you have the two, the upper cheekbone by the ear, middle of the ear, and then the points at the edge of the lips, those are the other two, and then your center chin, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel. The next shita is Shitat HaRambam. The Shita of the Rambam is that you have the 5 points, and this probably seems the most, seems to be almost the most logical, at least that seems to fit in the easiest, is that the Rambam has the 5 points. The first point being the upper cheekbone, which is up here by your ear, middle ear. That's your upper cheek, the upper jaw. Then you have the lower jaw. So it's upper jaw, lower jaw. The lower jaw is the points that the Rivan called the beginning of the beard. That's what the Rambam, that point, it goes, your jaw comes down and it pushes out backwards. The bottom of your lower jaw is behind your ears. Those points at the edge, that's the second point. And then the chin is the center point. So going to the Rambam, you have these, the cheekbone, then the lower cheekbone, and then the middle point. So it'll come like this. You'd have this, this, this. You could draw a line between them. Those are all. And the Rambam points out, which is true for all the deot here, that the safa, the mustache, is not included. Nobody thinks the mustache is not allowed. You can cut your mustache with a razor or this. Many of the Rishonim may even know we sold all asotetzeh, even though you can cut them off. But the mustache, according to almost, I didn't find any shita that said that the mustache, the safa is included in the safam is included in the restriction. The next shita is another shita of Rashi. So actually three Rashi, Shita of Rashi, which is the Rivan here, and the real Shita of Rashi, which is in Shavuot and in Chumash. There's another Shita of Rashi, which is quoted by the Rishonim, which is also, is a mix between the Rivan and Rashi himself, it seems to be, which is that's the upper bone here again, the upper cheekbone, the upper jaw bone, up by your ear, the middle of your ear. Then the next 2 points are by the chin. Like this, that's the end, going from the up here all the way down to the lower points over here, and the center point in the chin. So those are the 5 points. He gave about 5 shitot about what they are. The last machlokus relates to the 5th point. Almost all the Rishonim that we just saw all say that the chin is the center is the middle point. There are, there's a shita in the Yireim that's also brought in the Haggadot Maimonides, and the Rosh quotes it as well as a shita based on the Mishnah and the Nigayim, that it's really the Adam's apple is the 5th point, which will bring you all the way down, and therefore they all say that we're choshesh for that, and therefore we don't cut with a razor in this whole area down here, even though according to most of the other Rishonim, you could cut underneath in your neck area with a razor without any problem. Because of this shita, that it could be down here by the Gurgurit, or the pika of the throat, that here, the Adam's apple, therefore this whole area becomes restricted as well from cutting the razor, because we're choshesh for these shitot. So those are the 5 peot that he's mentioning over here, that he was describing, and they're all ben pirkei. They're looking for joints, or the joint can either be a joint, an actual joint in the mouth, or a turn, a zavit, a corner. Either it's a joint or a corner, and the corner is called like a peah as well. So it's a peah or a joint that we're looking for. The only one who says an exception there is Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that the edge of the mouth is 2 of the joints, even though there's no real joint there. But he says because the mustache, safa, the lips, begin over there, it's as if there's a joint or as if there's a corner over there. Right, those are the 5. I sent it out to you. You have the Mekorot in your email. You can look at them at your own pleasure.
So according to all of the shikos, are we talking about Nikudot? We're talking about connected dots from one to the other, and everything is a story.
It seems, according to most, that it's a line that you would draw between them. According to most, it's the beginning. There's a beginning and an end. There's some point that's called the beginning of the zakan, and the point in the middle, the center, is the end of the zakan. According to most, the Rivan has this idea that maybe all four points are the shibot zakan. In that case, it might be that they're points and not a continuum. But according to most, it seems to be there's a line connecting them, or some sort of continuum between the beginning and the end of the point. It's one, like, I think the Rivan sounds maybe a little bit like it's individual points rather than a continuum.
Rashi and Nisi could be Peyos and Nibotzi.
But Rashi
and Nisi could be Peyos and Nibotzi with nothing.
Right, with nothing in between, right. There I assume he's talking about the upper and lower pieces that he's actually talking about that extend between them, right? But, alright. So now, just Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ima Natlan. We said over there that the Chachamim say if you take all five of them at once, you're chayav five. And Rabbi Elazar says if you do them all five at once, you're only chayav once. Because it's one love, which is, right, ufat zakanam lo yigalechu, or the other possibility, which is ufat zakancha. I mean, lo tashkid ufat zakancha. Zakanecha. So there, you have the two times, there's only one love. So how could you put up five lavim? So the v'enu chayav ajitlenu betar. How do you know you have to use a razor? Tamar rabbanon. The Brita says ufakad zekanam lo yichaleichu. Says by the kohanim in parshat Emor ufakad zekanam lo yigaleichu. They shouldn't cut them. Yochal afil guchu b'misparayim. I would think even if you cut them with scissors, it'd be a problem. Yechayav tamar lomar by the pasuk in Vayikra in parshat. Kedoshim, when it says about the regular Israel, lo tashchit et pa'at zikanecha, there it says lo tashchit. So ilo tashchit, yacholim laktom v'mlakeit v'rihitni, if you pull them out with a tweezer or with a plane, yechayav, that's hashchata. You're pulling the hairs out, you're ripping them out, tamud omar lo yigalchenu, you have to do a cutting action. Haketza giluach sheyeshva hashchata, you need cutting that is destructive. Cutting that cuts down to the skin of Yamir Zitar. This is a razor. The razor is the only one that does that. Scissors don't do ashkhata. They do giluch, they do cutting, but they don't do ashkhata. They don't cut away the hair from the face. They cut against the other blade. Rihitni and Mlakate, which are ashkhata, they do ashkhata, but that's not called giluch. That's not called cutting. That's just pulling, ripping out. And that there's not an Isur for. So it has to be something that is Giluach and Ashchata. The only way to do that is with a razor. Rabbi Eliezer argues, and we've seen this, Rabbi Eliezer regards to a Nazir. As well, Omer, afilu laktobim lakeit v'rihitni chayav. Even if you use tweezers or a plane, you're chayav. Manavshach. I gamar gzeres shava. If he learns the gzeres shava like the Chachamim learn a gzeres shava of ufa'at. Right, they learn out ufa'at zikanam lo yigalechu and lo shchide pa'at zikanecha. So they learn pa'at, pe'ah, pe'ah. That Gezeirah Shavah tells me to learn, just like by the Kohanim, it says the word giluach. And by Yisrael it says tashchit. How do I know to put them together? I have Gezeirah Shavah, pa'at, pa'at. So if he holds with Gezeirah Shavah, he should hold like the Chachamim, that you require only a razor is the only thing that works. And if he does not have a Gezeirah Shavah, right, if Gezeirah Shavah li ba'itar, ilo gam Gezeirah misparayim nami. Hello. Then it should be amzinami. So you should be able to use scissors as well. The only thing that he mentions is malakit and mehitni, because those are hashkata. But if it's giluach stands independently, you should be able to use scissors. That's also giluach. So the olam gomir gzer shava, he does want gzer shava, but kasara haninemi giluach avdei. He believes that this is also called cutting of some sort. They pulling out with the tweezers and the plane, that's also called giluach. So here they're arguing about the definition of giluach. Is giluach simply a tar, only a razor performs giluach? Or Rabbi Elazar has a more expansive view of what giluach is, and it includes even a rehitni and a malakit. Alright, now, hakotev ketovet kaka, someone who writes ketovet kaka, which is, at least someone is the equivalent of what we call a tattoo today, which is the person goes ahead and writes with ink on themselves and then cuts the skin so that the ink seeps in between the skin and the flesh. And sits in there and becomes a permanent mark. And that is the tattoo that we're talking about here. So that's HaKodev Ketove Kaka, Katav Velo Kaka. If he wrote without cutting, or Kaka Velo Katav, or he cut without writing, eno chayav. Achichtov v'yitkaka. You need both. In order for it to be a tattoo, you need both have the ink and you have to have the cutting of the skin of the in that area. Biyado ubikachol. Vado chol davar shurul shem. Right, so you could do it with this, you know, here it could either be a do or the other gear, so which probably makes more sense, is bdio, right, whether it's ink or chol, or it's some sort of makeup or coloring of a chol davar shuroshim, anything that makes a mark is restricted over here. Shem ben Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino chayav et chtov sham et Hashem. It's only chayav if he writes the Shem Hashem. Tattoos on the Shem Hashem. Shnemar, uchtov et kaka, lo titnu bachem, ani Hashem. Don't put any ktova kaka, right? Don't do nubachem, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So what is the ktova kaka you shouldn't put in there? Ani Hashem. That's the thing that you can't put in there, is that ani Hashem is what can't be placed on your body. And now, the Gemara says, Amalei Ravacha Breid the Rav Olar Vashi, Adi Ktov Ani Hashem Mamash. So here, it's probably in the way the Bach edits the gears over here, it sounds like this is a question. That he was asking a question. When he says, when Rabbi Shim ben Yehuda in the Mishnah says that you have to write Ani Hashem, what does that mean? Does he just have to write the Shem Hashem? Or does he have to literally write Ani Hashem? So his question is like this, Amalei Ravacha Breid the Rav Olar Vashi, Adi Yechtov Ani Hashem. Does he have to literally write Ani Hashem? That's what he has to write there? So Amalei Lo. Kedetani bar kapara ein chayav ad yichtov shem avodah kachavim. Doesn't mean you have to write the shem Hashem, but rather it means you have to write the shem avodah zara there. Shnei amar uchtovet kaka lo tidnu bachem ani Hashem. Ani Hashem velo acher. The ktovet kaka, or the doing of this ktovet kaka, was usually used for other gods. So ani Hashem is don't do the ktovet kaka, which is some sort of worship or self effacement that they did for the shame of Avodah Zarah. So therefore you can't write the shame of Avodah Zarah, you can't do that on your body, because it says Ani Hashem, that you shouldn't do, you can't do anything but what Hashem wants, or that you can't have anybody besides Hashem. Amar Rav Malchia, Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Asur lo l'adam shiten efer makleh al gabi makato. Person can't put ashes on the top of a wound, even though it would be efficacious or beneficial to him. Mipnei shenir itz ki ketovet kaka. Because it's marat ayin. It looks like you're tattooing. You have a cut, and then you're placing black on top of it. Right? The efer is going to be black, so it looks like you have ink and a cut. Looks like you're doing ketovet kaka. So Amar, so here again, the Gersa is either Amar Rav Nachman or Amar Rav Chinina Breid Rav Ika. Shipud Shfachot Vigumot Rav Malchio. Blorit Efer Makleg Guvina Rav Malchio. So these are the authors of these statements. You have Malchio and Malchia, who can easily get mixed up. So he says, here's the way to remember who's whom. So that is, when it comes to the halacha, there's a halacha of shipud, halacha of shfachot, and halacha of gumot. All those are authored by Rav Malchio. Blorit, Efer Makle, and Gvina are all Rav Malchio. And that's who we have over here. In our, it's actually mentioned over here, ours is Rav Malchio, and ours is the case of Efer Makle. So now, what are the other cases? So the other cases is, the first one is a shipud, is from Beitza, that if you use the shipud, use the spit to roast the meat on it, then if you pull it out, on Yom Tov, you pull it out, then the spit is muksa. So that's a question over there, it's a dinit. That spit is classified as being muksa. The next, what's shvachot? That the shvachot is from the Gemara in Ketubot, it's actually a Mishnah in Ketubot, that no matter how many shvachot he brings in for his wife, she still has to do some work, because we say that b'teila mevili de shimum, right? That it's not healthy for a person not to work, or to be unproductive is unhealthy. So that's the case of shvachot. The case of gumot is a din in nida. Din in nida is that the shtei sarot, and we're talking about two sarot, which is the qualification for many items, for it to be a gadol shtei sarot, we don't literally mean, they have to have a root, or they have to have some sort of follicle that's coming out. the Rav Malkio over there adds on that it can be even the root or the follicle without the actual hair coming out. It's enough. You don't actually have the physical hair coming out, but just the fact that there's follicles or there are, right, there's some sort of root to the hair at that point, that's enough to be classified as a classified as shtei se'arot. Now the case of blorit is, we'll get into in Avodah Zarah, that is how much, if you can give, if you're giving a haircut to a Avodah Zaranik who has a blorit, how much, what can you cut in terms of the blorit, and how close to the blorit can you cut? Because that was the way they worshipped the Avodah Zarah, so we don't allow you to do it fully, but what are the restrictions against cutting it so close? That's the case of blorit. Ephraim Akleh is our case over here. And the last case is the Gvina case of Gvinot Beit Onyanki, or the cheese that is curdled in the Beit Onyanki. What's the status of those cheeses? Right, so these are the opinions. They lay out a procedure by which you'll know which one is which. But then along comes Rav Papa and Amar, no. Matnitin u'matnita, if it's a Mishnah or a Braita, then it's Rav Malchia. Shmaitita, anything that's just an independent statement, not necessarily collected to a Mishnah or a Braita, then those are Rav Malchia. V'simanech. What's the siman for you? Matnita Malkita. So they are both in the female form. Matnita and Malkita. So Malchia, which is in the female form, goes along with the Matnita, which is the Mishnah. So that's how you know. Mishnah and Braita go with Rav Malkia. So now, my binayu, what's the difference between Rav Papa and the first opinion? Here the Gemara says, V'ika binayu shfachot. The difference between Rav Shfachot. Shfachot, which is a Mishnah, and therefore it should be with Rav Malchia and not with Rav Malchio. And it's also Ephraim Akleh. Ephraim Akleh is not a Mishnah. That is an independent statement. It's a Shmaitita. And that really should move over to Rav Malchio. So here, we don't mention that. We only mention one, which is Ika Benayu Shfachot. When it comes to speaking about the difference between them, we don't mention both, but only one. So the possibility is, there are two possibilities over here. One possibility is that they mention one, but it really means Shfachot and Ephraim Akleh, to switch them around. The other possibility is that it's Dafka that's only mentioned this way, because it has to do with the Mishnah and the Braita. The only thing we know is that if it's a Mishnah or a Braita, it should be with Rav Malchia. That doesn't mean that if it's not a Mishnah or a Braita, that it can't be with Rav Malchia. Right, but that's the key point. So now, if he has something that is not a Mishnah or a Braita, nevertheless, we classify it as being in its place because we're only switching around the Mishnah and Braita things, not the things that relate to the Shmaitita. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Bibi was Makpid, it was Kapid Afila Rivda the Kuslita. Even at the point where the blood letter would use his, enter his instrument, to place his instrument in, even that little cut, he would not put Ephraim Akleh on that because he was choshesh that it would look like Maridayin of Ketobet Kaka. V'ashemar, kol makom she'esham makeh, makateo muchechet alav, or machiach alav. That the, any place there's a cut, the cut is clear evidence that you're not doing Ketobet Kaka. You have an injury, and people can see there's an injury, so they don't know, they don't have to, you know, worry about the Ketobet Kaka over here. And now, next Mishnah, which we quoted in yesterday's daf, Nazir Sheyeshoteh Yain Kol Yom, if he's drinking wine all day, Ein Chayav Ela Achat, he's only Chayav one. Amr Lo Al Tishteh, he's warned each time Al Tishteh, V'Hushoteh Chayav Al Kol Achat V'Achat, then he's Chayav in each drink that he takes. Hayav Etameh Lameitim Kol Yom, Einu Chayav Ela Achat, if he's getting Tameh all day, only Chayav once. Amr Lo Al Titameh, Al Titameh, V'Hu Mitameh, and he ignores him as Mitameh, then he's Chayav Al Kol Achat V'Achat. Hayav Megaleach Kol Yom, if he's, you know, shaving all day, Enu chayav ela achat. And he's only chayav one. I'm like, oh, al tegaleach, who megaleach? He said, don't do it. And he goes ahead and does it. Then chayav al kol achat beachat. Then he's chayav on each giluach, on each shaving. Hayal avushk bikilaim, he's wearing kilaim, kol ayom, enu chayav ela achat. He wore kilaim all day. It's only chayav once. Amr lo al tilbash. They said to him, don't wear the kilayim. V'uposheit v'lobesh. He takes it off and puts it on. Chayav al kol achat ve'achat. And he's chayav for each time that they warned him. He's chayav for wearing the bigot kilayim. Yesh choresh telem echad. Someone can plow one furrow in the field. V'chayav alav mishum shmona lavim. Chayav for eight lavim. What are these? It's not clear what they are. Achoresh b'shor v'chamor. So shor and chamor is definitely one, which is that you're not allowed to, it's kilayim, you're not allowed to plow with the two of them together. So that's one yisur. Number two is mukdashim. Now when they're mukdashim over here, we're talking about a b'chor. That when they're a b'chor, And since he's using, it's a Bechor, and he's using the Bechor for something that's restricted, that makes him violate a second lav. Now, what does that mean? That means that it's only talking about the Shur, not the Chamor. Because where do you have to bring a Bechor from? You only bring a Bechor from Shvor, you bring it from Behemot Kshirot, you're not going to bring it from a Behemot Meyah. Some of the Rishonim, including Tosafot over here, says there's only one restriction over here of Bechor. The one restriction of Bechor relates to the Shur, and the Chamor could be Chulin, it could be whatever you want it to be.
And they therefore have to have two Isurim that come out of Kilei HaKerem, which is later on, and they have to say there that you're both violating Kilei Zraim and Kilei HaKerem to make up for the one Isur that they don't have from the Muktashim over here.
Right, Raj, the Rivan over here on the other hand says no, it's Shur and Peter Chamor. Shur and Peter Chamor. And Peter Chamor has the same restrictions as a Bechor before it's given to the Kohen, before it's exchanged with the Kohen. Peter Chamor has the same status as a Bechor. And therefore, when we're talking about Shor, Chamor, and Mukdashim, that's the second and third lav that you violated. You violated the lav of Shor, and now you violated the lav of Chamor. The next is Kilayim Bekerim. You're planting, you know, seed and vines together, grapes together. Ubishvit, Tishnat HaShvit, V'yom Tov, and Eves V'yom Tov, V'Kohen, V'Nazir, V'Beit Hatuma. And then if he's a Kohen and a Nazir, and he's in a Beit Tumah, then he get all eight Malkot that he would be Chayav. Chanida ben Chachinai Omer, Af Alovesh Kilayim, even a person who wears Kilayim, Amalolo, Ein Hashem. What do you mean? So he's wearing Kilayim, so now he's going to be Chayav 9? So that's not from the same, it's not from the same source. Using a totally different source. It's not the Gavra, and by the Kilayim. Well, here we're talking about an action he takes in plowing that gets him Chayav 8 Malkot. Not that he puts it on and he does other, he wears Kilayim, that's a Easter any, so you can have Medim Chalev at the same time. Right? I mean, you don't, that's not what we're after over here. So, Amar Lahem, Min Hashem, Amar Lahem, Af Nazir Lahu Min Hashem. You want to go that way, why is a Nazir Min Hashem? And Kohen Gadol, they have nothing to do with the fact that he's plowing the Telem, it just happens to be that he's also a Nazir. Right? There it might be closer because it's the Gavra himself that is the, right, Nazir. Whereas by Lovesh Kilayim, it's external to the Gavra. It's not the Gavra, the Gavra is wearing something. Right, so now, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Filo Machnis Umotzi Beit Yad Unkli Shelo. So now, when it says that he has to be Poshet and Lovesh in our Mishnah, Poshet and Lovesh means in order to be Chayav a second time, when they tell you don't wear it, you have to take it off and put it back on, because you need Livisha. You need to be putting it on in order to be Chayav. So that's what Amar Rabbi says. What we're talking about here is Afilo Machnis Motzi Beit Yad. If he just takes his arm out of the sleeve and puts it back in, that's classified as having taken it off and putting it back in. Don't literally have to take it on and off, but you have to wait the amount of time that it would take for you to take it on and off. So what's clear here from these opinions is that nobody believes that it's literal. Right? Nobody's taking it literally that when it comes to the vishat kilayim, that you actually physically have to put it on, because we have the first opinion, which is that you're allowed to take the sleeve in and out, and that's what we see. The Mechavi Rav Acha Brei Ika Yului Ve'Afuke, Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika over here indicated that it's Machlokis here of Yishonim, Machlokis in Rashi and the Ritva over here, or the Rivan, really, it's the Rivan and the Ritva over here, whether he showed them how to take, you know, pulling your arm in and out of your sleeve. Or he's arguing on them and saying, no, not pulling your sleeve out. You have to take the whole baguette off. Then Rav Ashi Omer, Afilu lo shai, look at daily shot for Luvosh Chayav. Even if he didn't wait the amount of time, except to take, as long as he's wearing it for a period of time that he could have taken off and put it back on, then he becomes Chayav again. Someone who covers up the seeds of Kilayim gets Malkot. Amalan Rabbi Yochanan La Mishnah Tenu Hizu. Don't we have a Mishnah that tells us this? Our Mishnah right here, isn't this the Mishnah? Yesh Choresh Tal Machad V'Chayav La Mishum Shmona Lavin. Haru Choresh B'Shor B'Chamor, one. V'Hei Mukdashim is two, or two and three. V'Kilayim B'Kerem. He plants Kerem. So now, over here, this Choresh is for planting the Kilay HaKerem. Hai Choresh the Mechayev. Over here, this choresh, the word mechayev over here, mishum kilayim, for kilayim heichem mishkachala. What's the case? Lav de michse badei, the azil, is he covering it over as he goes by? So then that would be, or prove to the fact that it's a chofeh b'kilayim. Someone who covers over kilayim gets malkot. Here our Mishnah is exactly that case. He's plowing along and he's covering over the seeds of kilayim. So I'm like, We didn't lift up this piece of pottery. We wouldn't have found the jewel or the precious item below it. So that's his response to Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yochanan, by talking about this issue, we got him to talk about the issue. He gave, brought us this, which was very interesting. So I'm really Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Ilav the Kilsach Gavar Abba. If some a great man, the one who asked the question, which is Rabbi Yanai, if it had not been for the fact that he complimented you, Rabbi Yochanan, have Amina Maditan Mani, I would have thought, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Kivei, Kayem Kilaim Lokeh. It's someone who keeps Kilaim around. It's growing in their field and they don't remove it. You're Chayav and you get Malkot for it. So my Rabbi Kiva, what's this position? Rabbi Kiva the Tanya, I'm Nechesh V'mechapeh B'Kilaim. Someone is weeding and covering over Kilaim Lokeh. You get Malkot for him. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afa Mekayim. Rabbi Kiva says, even the Mekayim Kilaim gets malkot. So you don't have to do anything. You just have to go through the field, plowing the field, and leave it in place. You don't remove it as you go by it. That's enough. Just to be mekayim the kilaya karim. So my time to Rabbi Kiva, where's Rabbi Kiva get this? You have to hold it back. The Tanya, we have a brisa, slantchalo tizra kilayim, ein li ala zoreya, mekayim inayin. That teaches me zoreya, planting. What about keeping it there? How do I learn that out? So the Gemara says, mekayim inayin tamalomar, Kilayim by Kilayim Sadcha Lo. Right, it's from Parsha Kedoshim. Et Chukutai Tishmaru B'Emtcha Lo Tarbiya Kilayim. Right, Sadcha Lo Tizra Kilayim. Begim Kilayim Shenes Lo Yalecha. So the three types of Kilayim that are found in the pasuk. There's Kilay Begadim. There's Kilay Bema. And then there's Kilayim that refers to the Sadeh. So if I read it simply, it says Sadcha Lo Tizra Kilayim. Your field, you should not plant Kilayim in your field. That would say you have to plant it, and you can't just be covering it over in order to be chayav. But there we learned that right before it in the pasuk it says, Lotar Bia Kilayim. Right? It could have said Kilayim Lotar Bia. The fact that it moved the Kilayim there means that you could read the pasuk also as Kilayim Sadcha Lo. The Kilayim your field should not have. How is it that your Kilayim that your field should not have? That means that you let it grow. You let it grow. Not that you planted it, but you let it grow. And that's also chayav. In this case, according to Rabbi Kiva, gama mekayim, begama zoreya, or chayav. So I'm like, ulul Rav Nachman, velilke nami mishum zoreya biyom tov. Why doesn't he get malkot for planting on yom tov? Why are we only talking about choresh? What about zoreya? Well, he can do he's doing another malacha as well of zoreya at that point in time. He's planting the seeds. So why does that qualify as being also a second violation of yom tov? So Malay, Tana Bashir. Tana wasn't exclusive. He had to leave something out. He didn't get to everything in the Shir. So Malay, Tana, Tani Shmona, Vatamart, Tana Bashir. The Brishna specifically says eight. Eight is to mean not more than eight and not any different than eight. It doesn't mean, oh, just yeah, he leaves out randomly, he's giving a number. No, eight is a significant number. Some are Rav or some are Rabo. The answer to the question is, Yesh Chiluk Malachot B'Shabbat, V'Ein Chiluk Malachot B'Yom Tov. But Shabbos, we have a specific Pasuk or Limud to teach us that. There are two different Limudim that are brought down as to why we focus on the Chiluk Malachot on Shabbos and we don't focus on the Chiluk Malachot on Yom Tov. So the two possibilities that we learn out that it's Chiluk Malachot B'Shabbos is one is Havara, that the fact that the Havara is the Chalek Yatzat, that's one opinion. The other opinion is that no, Havara is the Lav Yatzat. It's to tell you that you get a Lav and not Karet. Where does he learn it out? He learns it out from the Pasuk, Asat Achat Mehena. Achat Mehena, one that is like many. Hanimile Bisurei Di'it Mehen Chiyuv Chatot. It only applies to things that have a chatot. So that's why, since we have specifically mudim by Shabbos, either because of Havaralat or because Bachaya Achat Mehena, so those are, by Shabbos, teach me Chiluk Malachot. Yom Tov doesn't have those two inclusions, so therefore there's no Chiluk Malachot. Therefore, if you violate Zorei and Choresh, it doesn't matter. They're the same violation. That's why the Mishnah only includes eight in the count. So I'm relay Ado Tehei. Good, that's a good answer. What you're saying is true, because it sounds right to me. Eitavei Abaye, Abaye challenged this. Ve'ein chiluk melachot b'yom tov. There's no chiluk melachot b'yom tov. Atanan. And we have a Mishnah. Hamavashel di b'chalav b'yom tov. Achloch loke chamesh. And eats it, he gets chamesh malkiot. So he cooks it with a, you know, vashel a gid. And you have to believe here, gid is benotein tam, so that it's edible or gives off flavor. So here we have a gid, the sinew that's being put in. plus the chalav, the milk, on Yom Tov, and then he eats it, he gets 5 malkiot. Lokem Mishum Ochel Gid, he's eating the Gid Anashe. Number 2 is Lokem Mishum Mevashel B'Yom Tov Shelo L'Tzorech. He's doing Bishol Shelo L'Tzorech is number 2. Number 3 is Lokech Mishum Mevashel Gidi B'Chalav. That's pretty straightforward. You're Chayav for Bishol Basar B'Chalav. Lokem Mishum Ochel Basar B'Chalav. And then you're also Chayav for eating milk and meat together. Or number 5 is Loke Mishum Havara. And you get punished for Havara because you have to light the fire to cook it on Yom Tov. Then we have what? And 2 Isurei Yom Tov, right? We have Mivashel and we have Havara. So Mar says, Vimita Mishum Havara Lo Mechayev. Right? So, Dechayev Le Mishum Bishlo. How could you make Havara Chayev if you already said that by Bisho you're Chayev? So Mar says, Apik Havara Va'al Gidanashe Shon Neveila. Take out Havara. Havara wasn't the problem here, but the problem is that he has now has a gidanasheh that is from a nevela. Not that you have a kosher animal comes out of nevela, and therefore there's an additional restriction of nevela on this item. So that additional restriction is what we're speaking about here. Baha Tani, don't we have the Mesorah, the Rabbi Chia tells us, Lokesh Shtayim Achilato, 2 for eating it, Meshalosh Al Bishlo, and 3 for cooking it. Now you just take out Havara, which is for cooking. And instead you put in nevela. If you do this, shalosh achilato, now you made it to 3 on eating. Because you can't eat basar b'chalav, you can't eat gidanashe, and now you can't eat nevela as well. Where it says, Ela apik havara v'al atzei ashera. Take out havara and put in itzim that come from avodah zara. Azaratai, mehachad azara comes here, lo yibak b'yadcha miuma min acherim. So you can't keep anything. So I'm like, v'achav reid rabbel ravashi. You should also get malchut for not bringing anything that is disgusting into your house. That he cooked with the Atzei Kodesh, and Azaraz from here, which is Shereihem, Tishrafun Be'esh, have to burn down their trees that they use as a Avodah Zarah. Don't do this to Hashem. You burn down their stuff, you're not allowed to burn Hashem's stuff. So over here, again, you have that problem because he's using Kodesh, according to the final answer, that you're taking out Havara and you're putting in, as they are Kadosh, and there's a restriction against burning down Kodesh. Therefore, now we have 5 things, and that's not an eating item. So we keep the balance of 2 eating and 3, right, first.
That are related to cooking or burning.
Tosus asked the question, why doesn't he get malkot for me'ilo over here? What happened to me'ilo over here? So he says, the only listing here, lavin, that apply even in less than a pruta. And since me'ilo only applies from a pruta and above, it's not included in the listing here. But ain't no chanam, it should be included in the list. All right, we'll stop over here.